We're talking now about sun and sun safety. Coastal living baby boomers spent the 1970s bathed in baby oil, UVB rays, and beach time. And they certainly have the sun damage to prove it, with many making annual pilgrimages to their dermatologists for ongoing treatments of basal cell carcinoma, or BCC, the most common form of skin cancer. They're older and hopefully wiser, so they probably find it galling to see their grandchildren still getting burnt in spite of the successful Slip, Slop, Slap campaign, which has now become the Slip, Slop, Slap, Seek, and Slide campaign. Dr. Natasha Cook is a specialist dermatologist located in Sydney and joins us now to talk about it. Thank you for joining me.
Hello.
Oh, hello?
Hello, sorry.
That's right. And so to what extent is serious sunburn a problem in Australia?
Look, despite all the education that is out there, we're still seeing high instances of people getting excessive sun exposure and excessive damage because, unfortunately, a tan is still perceived as being somewhat attractive. So certainly the statistics show nowadays that 2 out of 3 Australians will get at least one form of skin cancer in their lifetime. So it's still a really big problem.
And are there particular demographics that are most at risk from getting sun damage?
Well, the earlier you do your damage, the more at risk you are, because the problem, what people understand, even with, when they've given up their sunbaking days, they think that they're still doing benefit to their skin. But what you're doing today will actually be an investment in the next 10 to 20 years. So what we're seeing today actually happened 20 to 30 years ago. We get about 85% of our overall total cumulative sun exposure before we reach 20. So what we're doing in the early years really pays off to what we're going to end up developing later down the track.
Right. And so do we see then people who have lived in Australia their whole lives have much higher rate of skin cancer than people who have maybe come here from overseas, places that don't have...
100%. You often see people who relocated from the Northern Hemisphere and the quality of their skin, as well as the incidence of problems they get, is significant less than if you were born here in Australia and you grew up here. We have a lot more higher UV exposure. We have longer days. We have milder weather, which just loans to people being more outdoors, and therefore they're getting more exposure and they're more at risk.
And last week we saw several stories on current affairs programs regarding children getting extremely burnt because of a lack of sunblock or application of a poor quality sunblock. What do consumers need to look for when they're buying sunscreen?
Yeah, look, I've read all those reports and obviously was interviewed myself on these cases. It's a little bit alarming because I think people, first of all, don't put their sunscreens on necessarily properly. To get that SPF level that's advertised on the bottle, you need to put the equivalent of 2 milligrams per centimeter square application, which if you break that down in a user-friendly way, it's a teaspoon to your face, a teaspoon to each limb. So 80% of consumers have actually been shown in studies that they significantly underapply their sunscreens. So they're basically putting on about a fifth of what they should, which means they're probably getting an SPF of somewhere between 5 and 10, if that. And the other thing is because of the advent of aerosol sprays have become more popular because consumers like the fact that they feel like they're wearing nothing. Well, the irony is they probably are. So the spray-on applicators really aren't a good idea if you're really serious about sun protection, and it is a serious business in this country. So my kind of advice to consumers when they're going to purchase a sunscreen are a couple of things. First of all, always go for the highest SPF you can find, which at the moment is 50. You want a sunscreen product that advertises broad spectrum because the SPF number is only an indicator of the protection against UVB rays. UVA rays are also in the UV spectrum are equally damaging. So if it's got broad spectrum on it, it basically the sunscreen has been tested to qualify for UVA protection. And I say stick to your mineral-based or physical-based sunscreen ingredients like zinc and titanium dioxide. I know they can look a bit whiter on the skin, but at the end of the day, they're safer. They have no risk of developing any allergy. And they give you excellent protection against both UVA and UVB.
And so I suppose one thing that might concern people is if they put on sunscreen, they're worried about not getting the right kind of radiation from the sun because, you know, our popular consciousness, we know that going in the sun is important to, you know, have healthy skin and a healthy body. So what's the story with that in sunscreen?
Well, that would be people worry about getting a vitamin D deficient. Encourage people to sun protect and then take vitamin D supplements. I think that's a much safer way to get your vitamin D levels because the predictability with what you're getting in the UV rays, even from your own vitamin D levels, is not it's hard, it's difficult, and there is a risk of getting burnt. So, you know, if you really want to be super safe and you're worried about, you know, your body's health and your vitamin D levels, it's much safer to invest in a supplement than it is to try and rely on an appropriate amount of UV exposure to get your vitamin D access.
Okay. And how often, with this huge prevalence of skin cancers and dangerous lesions, how often should we be getting checked, and where should we be going to do this for possible skin cancer?
Yeah, look, it all depends on what your risk factors are. So genetically, first of all, if you've got a family history of melanoma, you should have a check at least once a year, okay? Because family history puts you in a higher risk category. And melanoma is not just about sun exposure. It's about the genes inside the mole. So we often will see melanomas develop in areas that have never seen the sun. So positive family history, get yourself checked. If you've got lots of moles and funny-looking moles, you should be checked at least annually as well. So they're two high-risk factor indicators. If you've had a lot of outdoor exposure over a lifetime and significant burns, I would say get checked annually at least. And obviously, if we start to see that you've got a problem, like a BCC, which is so beautifully described, as it is the most popular or most common skin cancer that we do see in this country, once we start picking things up, we usually increase the frequency of visits to anywhere between every 3 months to every 6 months.